A few years back, as an offering message at the Feast of Tabernacles, I shared with the brethren what we were doing here at YRM and where we were headed in the future. Since then, I have received a lot of feedback from brethren basically wanting an update for 2014-15, and basically everything since then. What we've been doing, where we're headed, those kind of things. So today I would like to give you a rundown of this ministry. I know we have many new people online. There's people that follow us, that find us on television and such. And they like the ministry. They want to know a little bit more about us, how we started, those kind of things. So I'd like to maybe fill in the gaps for some of you. So today I will give you the story so far. I think one of the brothers was saying the story shofar, but that doesn't quite make sense. I'll try to do that in 25 minutes or so. We'll see how it goes. This ministry was founded on one thing, and that is truth. And the question of truth goes back to human history. Everybody wants to know the truth. They don't necessarily want to follow it, but everybody wants to know what is truth. And today we have religions and atheists, and everyone's arguing about the origins of life and what is truth. Yahshua said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we, of course, know that Yahshua is truth, and he does make us free, and I'll cover that here in a little bit. Let's go to John 18, starting at verse 33. And this is where Pilate is questioning Yahshua. And it goes back to that question of truth. It says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Yahshua and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Yahshua answered him and sayest, Thou this thing of thyself." Basically, are you saying it yourself, or did others tell you? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have declared thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Yahshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should know that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Yahshua answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And of course, Pilate then said that famous line, "What is truth?" And Yahshua is truth incarnate. We call him the Word, and we know the Word is truth. So basically, Yahshua, as the Word, was standing in front of a pagan, and he was wanting to know what is truth. Well, we this day have the same type of situation where so many don't know the truth, and we have it right there for them, and they either reject it or they simply cover their ears and say, "I don't want to hear it. Please don't tell me," because they know that truth usually will have to bring about change. It goes inside. Goes to the heart. See if I can get this clicker working. Okay, there we go. So it's a story so far. Now I'd like to give you my definition of truth. Truth is the absence of error, much like darkness is the absence of light. Remove error and false assumptions, and you are left with one thing, and that is truth. Winston Churchill said, "The truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is." The great Missouri author Mark Twain put it this way: "It's no wonder that truth is stranger than fiction. Fiction has to make sense." George Washington said, "Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pains to bring it to light." I, of course, can't quote the many great and intelligent men of history without pointing out, and this is for my sister, what the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, said about truth. He says, "Truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away." The 20th president of the United States, James Garfield, put it this way: the truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. The novelist and poet C.S. Lewis said this. I think this is, it fits perfectly into what we deal with. If you look for truth, you may find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will get either comfort or truth only. You will not get either comfort or truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the end, despair. From time to time, we get the question, why Yahweh's restoration ministry? And of course, we tell them, because truth. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what we want to know. We want the truth, because we don't want to live a lie. One lady wrote to us on Facebook and said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, why are you telling people truth and trying to change their worldview? All you are doing is causing division. You are a divider. And you'd be surprised how many times we get that from people. This reminds me of what Yahshua said in Matthew 10:34. We know that the truth will divide. And Yahshua said this: think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. And remember, Yahshua is truth incarnate. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be that of his own household. If you're going to believe something that you hold deep inside of you, something that has made you who you are, don't you want accuracy? Because your beliefs are who you are. Your beliefs dictate what you do on a day-to-day basis. We don't want to live a lie, we want to live true. Truth. So here's little old me, video editor Ryan Mansegger. Quote, this is my one quote: you are your beliefs, be true to yourself, and in the end you will have no regrets. So the story of this ministry starts with our name, Yahweh's Restoration Ministry. And many have wondered, why do we call ourselves a ministry? Because if you look at the landscape of the Sacred Name Movement, or even in Christianity, usually it's a congregation or an assembly. Of course, they use the word church, ekklesia in Greek. But we call ourselves a ministry. Well, the answer is rather simple. We never had any plans of becoming an assembly. Around 1999, when my father Alan left a group similar to us, which it has now dissolved, he told me he felt called to preach the truth, not necessarily build an assembly. Randy and myself agreed. We thought, that sounds pretty good. We'll help you out. So Randy started doing sermons, and I helped out with a website. My dad started writing booklets and articles. We started publishing those and putting them on the internet. We then got into audio tapes. Of course, those are defunct now. Everything's CDs or just online. So that's what we did. Our goal was always a ministry, to get the truth out. And I felt that the prophet Isaiah in chapter 58, verse 12, summed up our goals as a ministry. And so we incorporated it in our logo. And it says there, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Sister Loretta Overman called my father one day. This is after we kind of started the ministry, and she wanted fellowship. So she became the first unofficial, non-family member of Yahweh's Restoration Ministry. You'll have to ask her about that sometime. So she's been with us since the beginning, and many of you have been as well. Then we started receiving phone calls from other people wanting to keep festivals with us. It was soon evident to us that maybe we weren't just going to be a ministry, that there was people wanting to fellowship, and how can you just turn away people? We're not going to fellowship with you. So we started fellowshipping in our home. I think it was around year 2000, maybe, we kept our first feast that was in California. I think it was more of a pseudo-vacation. It was our family vacation, which we then, I think, rented a small campground, and it might have been 15 or 20 of us that showed up, and we had our first Feast of Tabernacles. So I guess you could call YRM a ministry with an assembly. We are not concerned about numbers. Numbers are blessings, but will not dictate what or how we preach. We don't have membership rolls and tallies. We know that there are many teachings that we ascribe to that are just simply not popular, even in the Messianic or Hebrew root circles, and that's fine. It's fine by us. Again, we're not here for numbers. We're here to preach the truth the way that we've studied the Bible and the way we see truth. And if it means that we are not the largest, well, so be it. That's fine. Our goal is not members or numbers. Our goal is to preach the truth. I know we said before, we like to preach the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Oh, and by the way, if you ever look that up, chips fall where they may is not a reference to gambling. It's actually a reference to cutting wood. I looked it up one time because I was worried someone was going to get on me for saying it. But true worship has always been tied to small numbers. Israel was the smallest of all people. In Deuteronomy 7:6, Yahweh says, "For you are a holy people, Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, Yahweh did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than of all the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples." And then Luke 12:32, we see another example of this small remnant. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Revelation 3:8, speaking of the Philadelphia assembly, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and has kept my word and not denied my name." It's amazing how many people, when they read deny my name, goes right over their heads. I guess it means character or something. Doesn't actually mean his name. It's funny how he can actually say, "Don't deny my name," and people say, "Oh, it's not his name." So we started sending out booklets, audio tapes for free to those who requested it. We did that for a few years. Then we started recording some TV programs. Since my background was broadcast TV, I wanted to kind of do my part, so got on eBay and started getting old broadcast equipment. And when I mean old, I mean old. Sometimes the stuff would just go up in smoke. I think we redefined the chewing gum, Band-Aid, and baling wire approach to broadcast TV in those days. We did anything to make it work because we just did not have funds. We started in a small tractor shed up the hill. My dad likes to call it Tractorio. There's a long story. I won't get into that, but it's up the hill back here, and it's a 10 by 20 room with a small window air conditioner. I remember when Randy DeMet came out one year, he was taking pictures of it because he's fascinated that it was so small. it was barely enough room to put a camera in there. It's kind of funny, actually. And Mike Martin, he would show up, I believe it might have been on Wednesday evenings, and we'd record. Well, it was great in the wintertime, but, you know, you start getting into August with big broadcast lights, and it got very hot. So we would turn on the air conditioner and let it cool down. We'd get load up with hydration, drinks, water, and then with all the lights shut off, then we'd let it get probably down to maybe 65, 70, something like that, and then we'd kick on the lights and start recording. And it wasn't long before you see beads of sweat start coming down my dad's brow. And this is the actual picture of one of the first programs we did. I remember people thinking it was a rather large studio. If you saw it, it really was deceiving. We weren't trying to deceive. It was all we had. But anyway. And then Randy, like the haircut, by the way, Randy did his first program. And let me put it this way. Randy has gotten a lot better. A lot better. Randy does a good job. But it was only a couple years ago he started helping out. And it's been fun. It's been neat seeing with my dad and Randy. They have a different speaking style, and kind of working with them to get them to basically produce professional programs. And we're still working on it. No one's perfect, but every time we do it, we usually learn something new. So praise Yahweh for that. So during this time, Yahweh moved a few people to send donations towards an office building shell. We had explained that this building was just not adequate anymore. We wanted to build basically a pole barn so we could move the equipment and everything down to a more adequate space. And we got some donations. We kept plugging away at it and finishing rooms, interior rooms. I think all in all, it took us about 4 years to get that simple building done. We did everything in that building except for the HVAC and the slab. But everything else was all done by volunteer help. And I was employed by the ministry, so I worked every day on that as well. And it's rewarding when you have to start something like that. When everything you do is hard, everything you do takes effort, there is a certain reward that you just can't get if something was just handed to you. Anyway, so we had explained to people, I think through our newsletter, that we wanted to move the TV ministry there because it was just getting really difficult to record in that little 10 by 20 room. And then a lady called up one day and said, I'd like to donate to your TV ministry. And she sent a sizable donation. I don't know if we've ever heard from her after that. I have no idea if we... She was all on fire. And then I don't know if we ever heard from her again. But it was interesting because right after that, because we started work on it, we're buying some equipment, we basically had an open window to get on Sky Angel television. And we had to basically get tapes by a certain time to be able to get this Sunday time slot, which we now are still on. We've been on that time slot since we started on national television. And that's kind of the story with the TV broadcast. Everything worked out. I remember it was during Passover. We knew we only had like maybe a month or two. In fact, I think I've got some pictures here. This is it's where we're constructing the lower studio. But we had Mike Daly and Russ Thane and so many brethren. I think Mike, Randy D. I remember we all worked really hard on getting that room cleaned out and building the set. That's kind of the pre-done set. And then here after we completed it, praise Yahweh, we learned a lot. Again, still learning. We try to remain humble if we can, too. Someone told me that we'd be on national TV, let's say 10 years ago. I definitely wouldn't believe them because we are sometimes after some of the most well-known and wealthiest ministries in the entire world, some of the biggest. And it's kind of ironic that we are a small ministry with a congregation probably smaller than most of the congregations or churches in Jefferson City, but we are on with some of the largest and wealthiest ministries in the world. And to me, there's only one thing that can be said, and that's Yahweh, and that's Yahweh's will that's allowed us to do that. And we thank him and praise him every day for being able to be a tool. And we will do that as long as he allows us to do that. I know one time we pulled the stats, and don't think that just because we're different that people aren't watching us, because they pulled the stats one time, our media guy we hired who buys time, and I think they said we had 50,000 people watching our program on Church Channel, and that was a pretty accurate stat. Just to put that in perspective, that's basically the size of a stadium, a mid-sized stadium. Anyway, I wanted to hear. Yes, I wanted to cover one other thing. It's not been necessarily smooth, though. We've definitely had to go through some trials with the television ministry. We have been kicked off now, I think, 3 networks because of what we preach. And we try, you know, we know there are certain doctrines that we're not allowed to touch. So we do our best to try not to touch them and still preach the truth. But sometimes people just do not like us, and so they will do digging, and they will do their best of getting us kicked off of networks. And we know that's actually happened by some larger ministries that have succeeded in removing us from networks. But then again, you know, that goes along with territory. In the whole scheme of things, we have it pretty easy compared to the apostles. We've been... 2 networks in particular simply said because we have sacred name programming, we were not welcome on their network. And one was a so-called Hebrew Roots network in Texas. And they basically said that because we use the name, we are not allowed on their network, basically. So that's between them and Yahweh to deal with. Again, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to do what the Bible says. But it is rewarding when we receive phone calls from so many people. I know a lot of the brethren here have fielded phone calls. And how many people are so excited when they hear these things that they've never heard before, and connections are made, and questions they had all their life that didn't make sense are now starting to make sense. And it's rewarding. And we praise Yahweh again for just being able to be a tool in his hands to be able to teach people. In 2014... we went to Israel, and this was actually for the Discover the Truth. We recorded several programs. I wanted to point out this picture there. That gentleman, I think that was the gentleman there. Was he the security guard? I think he was. This gentleman there told Randy, this is at the Pool of Siloam. We were there with archaeologist Ellie Shukran. We actually spent the whole 10, 12 days there with Ellie. And he actually discovered this pool. That security guard goes up to Randy and says, I know you. I've seen you on TV. And Randy kind of looked at him and said, I don't think you've seen me because we're not on in Israel. And he goes, no, I've seen you on TV. I've watched you. And come to find out, he said, I watch you on Roku. So it's kind of funny how even something like a streaming, small streaming access like Roku can go all the way to Israel and someone can just recognize you all the way across the world. I just thought that was amazing myself. But let me just go to the next picture here. There's Ellie and me, and this was at Masada, I believe. And again, it was an amazing trip. We learned so much. And, I know Brother Jay says, don't get him talking about Israel. He won't shut up. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but I do want to point out a few pictures here. This is what happens when you give an archaeologist a camera and you ask him to take a group picture, because his field is in archaeology, not photography. So this was at Masada. I wish you could see it, but and I was going to tell you, the other picture, too, is also blurry. So this here is at the Golden Gate. It's on the other side. It's actually on the Temple Mount side of the Golden Gate. This is where Yahshua will more than likely come through. You can see it sealed up on both sides. They tried to seal it, basically, so the Messiah couldn't come through. They put a graveyard on the other side, and of course we know that's definitely not going to stop our Messiah. But anyway, you can see there's Steve and Debbie, and Joel, Randy, and myself. It was a great trip. And there's Steve and Ellie. I wanted to point this out. What is Steve wearing on his hat? You see those Hebrew words? I asked Steve later. It says St. Louis. Cardinals. It says Cardinals. So only Steve would go in Israel wearing Cardinals memorabilia. But anyway, it was pretty awesome. So, well, that brings me to the next thing we got into, the RSB project. And this was, I'm thinking 7 years ago, something like that. A few of us were talking, actually back in the back by the library. We thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we could produce a study Bible with the sacred names? Strong's numbers, dictionaries, notes, charts, basically a sacred name Bible on steroids with everything. We wanted to have a Bible with notes, so when people would get the Bible, they'd go back to their congregations or churches, and maybe as they're listening to their pastor, they can see a lot of the notes down below and say, oh, wait, that's not right. And they can then dig deeper. So that was kind of the goal. We had no idea how we were going to accomplish such a feat. I mean, it's just an enormous project. But I think the idea was, if you're going to dream, might as well dream big. So we kind of talked about it and thought, yeah, that'd be cool, maybe one day. Then Brother Randy Demet came here, I think during Pentecost. I can't remember. He was living in Pennsylvania at the time. And I was talking to Randy about it. I said, hey, yeah, wouldn't this be cool? And he's like, funny you should mention that, because I've been working on a program that would allow you to do just that. And he's a computer programmer by trade. And he said with the previous ministry, he was working on it, but the project just kind of faded away. And he really never did anything with it, but he wanted to, all that work he had already put into this program, he wanted to use it. So at that point, I led him directly to Randy Folliard, because I was like, whoa, this got to be a sign from heaven here. And Randy Folliard, of course, is a project manager by trade. So you get a project manager on something, and usually projects get managed, hence the name. So Randy then talked with both Randys talked amongst themselves, and the RSB project was born. And it was really, it's quite amazing. In fact, we've even talked to our publisher. We told him how we did it, and the publisher is amazed at how we did it. And that goes all back to Randy. He's an intelligent guy, and we thank Yahweh so much that he's brought him here to help us out with projects like this. But basically, essentially, what it is it's an online program where people can log in across the world, and we had teams that worked on certain things like character profiles and such, and they would work on that. They also worked on changing all the names, and we had rules how the names had to be changed. And well, I don't know, there's probably at least 20 of us, if not more. So many people worked on it and put hundreds and hundreds of hours into this Bible. And it certainly has changed a lot of people. And right now, I think to date, we've actually sold 9,000 of these Bibles. We just got the third edition. We've already sold 1,000 of them. And we try to keep the cost as low as possible. In fact, we've had some people can't believe that the Bibles is cheap as it is, but our goal is to get the truth out there and not to make profits. I know the publisher said, man, you could charge $80-$90 for this Bible, and a lot of ministries do. But again, you know, we want to get the tools into people's hands so they can understand the word of Yahweh, and that it will help them to further their understanding. For those also who don't know, we have a pretty small office staff. I know we definitely use our office staff to the fullest extent that we can. Our staff consists of 5 full-time employees. It's my dad, Elder Allen, and Elder Randy, Debbie, Sister Debbie Worrell, Joel Worrell, and myself. So we usually keep pretty busy. Debbie handles much of the mailing, and she handles phone calls as they come in. Joel handles the bulk of the phone calls and also assists me in the Discover the Truth TV studio. I handle the production, post-production, and the layout of the RT magazine. We're kind of like a well-greased wheel now. At first, you know, everything kind of, we had to work it through. But now I think we've worked it out where we can get all our jobs done in just the nick of time. I know a lot of times the magazine may come out a bit late, and we ask your forgiveness on that. We do our best. Sometimes we're just behind. There's a lot going on for just a few of the employees that we have. Randy and my dad are always busy. They're always answering questions, writing TV programs and articles. There's just so much to do. Most of the time I want to go in and talk to my dad and he's on telephone. Or I want to talk to Randy and he's on the telephone. And most of the phone calls are good. Of course, there's been a few heated ones where people want to tell us the error of our ways, and, you know, they do that, and we take it, but, you know, we try to be humble and let them know that, you know, our goal is truth, our goal is to preach the truth and let people out there know what we found out through many years of study. I wanted to get into one other thing here. We have exciting news. I know many of you guys know this, but we have been blessed as a ministry to basically build a new addition off to the side. And for those online, I know a lot of people that come out here, they're surprised how small this building is. The sanctuary looks a lot bigger on television than it does when you actually show up. But with this building here, we're pretty much maxed out, especially during the high days. We recently completed our kitchen. Our kitchen was pretty bad. We have to eat in the meeting hall. And our office building is just down about 50, 60 feet from here. It's about 11, 12 feet lower. This structure here is going to connect the two. It'll have a fellowship hall and needed bathrooms. This structure here only has 2 basic bathrooms. And right after services, there's usually lines of people to try to get into those bathrooms. So we're pretty excited about that. This will essentially double our square footage that we have right now. And we again pray and hope that we will use this to further the truth that that we're trying to put out there. So the future of YRM Ministry looks bright. as long as we can preach the truth and continue to do so in this hostile world, and it's becoming more and more hostile towards Bible believers, we will do that. We know eventually there may reach a day where we just won't be able to preach anymore because we just literally will be stifled because of just reading the Bible for what it says. And when that day comes, then I guess we put it in Yahweh's hands, and what happens, happens. Maybe tribulation comes, we don't know. But we can see the handwriting on the wall. We know it's getting worse out there. So we ask many of you today that are watching online, maybe watching this later, to give us a chance, get to know us. I think you'll find that we're just a basic big family, and that's how I look at all of you, is just a bunch of my brothers and sisters, and we love you guys, and we thank you for everything you've done for us and for furthering the ministry. And I'd like to add this caveat to those online. We in no way, I know Brother Jose had also covered this, believe that we are the only true assembly out there. There's a lot of assemblies. There's assemblies in Texas, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Michigan, and elsewhere in the world. We urge you to find an assembly in your area or as close as you can get that teaches the truth, and check them out. Make sure that they teach the truth, because there's a lot out there that teach some truth, but then they still go back to tradition and error. So we urge you to do that. If you can't find one in your area, we certainly would welcome you here and welcome you for the feast days. And again, we just thank and praise Yahweh for everything that he's allowed us to do. And we look forward to seeing what he has in store for us. So may Yahweh bless you. Bye.